To quote Jacques from As You Like It by William Shakespeare, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. His acts being seven ages, at first the infant, mewling and puking in the nurse's arms, and then the whiny schoolboy, with a satchel and shining morning face creeping like a snail, unwilling to school. And then the lover, sighing like furnace with a woeful ballad, made to his mistress's eyebrow. Then a soldier, full of strange oaths and bearded like the pard, jealous in honor, sudden and quick in quarrel, seeking the bubble reputation, even in the cannon's mouth. And then the justice, in fair round belly with good capon lined, with eye severe and beard a formal cut, full of wise saws and modern instances, and so he plays his part. The sixth age shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon, with spectacles on nose and pouch on side, his youthful hose well saved, a world too wide for his shrunk sank and his big manly voice, turning again toward childish treble, pipes, and whistles in his sound. Last scene of all, that ends the strange eventful history, is second childlessness and mere oblivion. Sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything. Iran, Israel, the Middle East, United States, the UK and Europe, Russia, China. It's all a stage, and we're all witnessing all of these different moments. Sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. Let's get emboldened.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, bold Americans, to another week of episodes here on America Emboldened. As always, I'm your host, Greg Bolden. Well, Iran responded in kind to the attack on their general, as expected. What does that have to do with the world being a stage? Why would I read Shakespeare at the top of the show? Well, perhaps you're not paying attention close enough to the show that's going on. For example, in Israel, this morning, Monday morning, even yesterday on Sunday morning, once the bombing was over, do you know what happened to their airspace? Well, across the Middle East on Sunday morning, it was closed in Israel, Jordan, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq. They shut down their airspace. Why did they shut it down? Because they knew that Iran was going to be responding. Who notifies everybody that they're going to be responding, and with how much deadliness they will be responding with? See, Iran fired a little over 300 drones and missiles in their attack on Israel. And not only was America already for this in the UK, but a week beforehand, there were reports that within 48 hours, Iran could respond. They didn't. They waited until 12:30 in the morning on Sunday Israeli time, and the United States, over the 3 or 4 days before, moved all of our destroyers and weaponry with closer to Israel along the coastline in order to be able to offer a defensive support with the UK Air Force and Israeli Air Force. Not only did they offer a great defensive, but they believe that they were able to intercept almost 99% of all the drones and bombs between the Iron Dome that Israel has, as well as using the Air Force and perhaps some new weaponry that the United States has in their arsenal. Now, why do I say some new? Because there is evidence of an exo-atmospheric explosion that came out of Israel through Al Jazeera television on Sunday morning. Now, if you don't know what an exo-atmospheric explosion is, it's when something explodes outside of the Earth's atmosphere. Now, we were told that they were sending drones and cruise missiles. The last time I checked, and cruise missiles may have gotten a lot more complicated and complex over the past 10 years, but the last time that I was familiar with cruise missiles and ballistic missiles, most of the ones that should be coming from Iran should not be going exo-atmospheric. And also, that means that we have deployed exo-atmospheric weaponry to the area that can be shot up into space and take out ballistics before ever coming back down to the planet. Now, there's two ways to do this. You could do this using satellites that are armed, and we can do this from ground to space weaponry that we've developed. Boeing and Raytheon own that technology. There's a contract that I believe was expiring in 2019 from Boeing and Raytheon, but they were looking for the next generation of exo-atmospheric ballistics. Perhaps we have that now. People forget something that Donald Trump did when he was in office that they made fun of him for. And I've always said it's one of those things that I give Donald Trump a ton of credit for. He listened to his military and created the United States Space Force. The Space Force may have been on complete display based upon another video that came out of Al Jazeera. There was a triangular-shaped light in the sky that wreaked absolute hellfire on the drones and ballistic missiles, destroying anything that was within its path. And not just like one at a time, but multiples at a time. And this thing moved with quickness and it got caught on camera. Now, I did reach out to several people to try to get them to confirm what I was looking at and whether or not that this was next level military. The people that work in the military that would have any type of knowledge of this all wrote the exact same thing to me. I can't speak on that. That was basically, they looked at the footage and go, I can't speak on that. With a few people saying, don't worry, you should be able to sleep safe tonight. I think my favorite quote that I got from somebody, and I'm not going to say what branch they work for, but he says, we are very well insulated. If anyone asks you, how do you sleep at night with all this crazy S going on overseas? You can most confidently reply, with a belly full of lobster on a brand new Tempur-Pedic. You can quote me on that. So I am quoting him on that. I thought that was a great quote coming from somebody who is with our military that has knowledge of what these things are that were in the sky over Israel and Jordan and Syria just two nights ago during the attack. Now, why is it all staged? Well, apparently now, Iran is going to let President Biden know his timeline for attacks. Not only is he going to let him know, but they're also going to notify Israel, all right, we're done. We sent 300. You don't have to worry about anything. Now, how do I know that somebody had to know that the water was getting turned off on the attacks? Because the airspace opened immediately 6 hours later when day broke. Not only did it open immediately, but think about all the media propaganda that was out there, the mainstream alternative media that was telling you, and the mainstream media, telling you that, oh my God, World War III is about to start. Alex Jones, I'm pretty sure, got an erection over the fact that he could yell at people that this was World War III starting during his space and his live stuff that he did just two nights ago. No, it was not World War III starting. It's a show that's starting. And it's a show that's starting that you should pay attention to at this point in time. Because there seems to be a circus in town and we're all in the ring watching the lions and the lion tamer. And that is the war that we're watching at the present moment. What type of war tells you when to open and close your airspace in an ethical way and then tells everybody we're all clear, our response is in kind? And how do I also know it's a show? Well, Joe Biden, he wanted to make a comment afterwards, but he never appeared. In fact, the White House called a lid on the day early on. We knew at 5 p.m., and when I say we, I mean the media knew, at 5 p.m. that these attacks were going to be launched around 5:30 p.m. In fact, some even got the notification a couple hours earlier. Now, those individuals knew that that was happening, which meant that Biden, who happened to be in Rehoboth, Delaware, also knew. There were statements saying that they were flying him back to Washington, D.C. because of what was going on. So Biden had plenty of time to address the country, 7 p.m., 8 p.m. Now, why should he? Because we are using our Air Force, we are using our taxpayer dollars in order to provide this defense to Israel. I believe you should offer a statement about what we're doing. Now, what did he tell Bibi Netanyahu? He said, you gotta win, take the win. But we didn't hear that directly through a press conference because the White House said, well, we're going to call a lid on the press today. There will be no press conferences. He will not speak. In fact, as of me recording this, he still has not spoken to the country or addressed it publicly outside of statements through the White House being put out. But so Biden says, you got to win, take the win. Why is he saying that? Because 99% of these drones and missiles were intercepted, which meant Iran barely did a dent. In fact, I have yet to hear of a human life that was lost as a result of these attacks. I've scoured the internet to try to find more information about this, and I have been unable to find anyone that says, oh, yep, there's the attack. Yep, look at all the damage of what's happened. In fact, you know what I see? I see more misinformation. I see accounts that are posting footage from other countries or footage from the Gaza Strip and calling it Israel, and they're just misleading people. All the world's a stage, and we merely players. Which player are you? Are you the player like Senator Marsha Blackburn, who's telling everybody before the drones or missiles ever crossed over into airspace outside of Iran, telling everybody that immediately the United States should be responding in kind and basically wipe off Iran? Is that the type of player that you are? Well, gee, I wonder why Marsha Blackburn, senator from Tennessee, Republican, would make that type of comment. Well, luckily for us, we can go to Open Secrets and we can see where contributions come in. Did you know that her number one contributor over the last 5 years is American-Israel Public Affairs Committee? Individuals have given her over $158,000. Her next largest contributors of individuals are people working for FedEx at $31,000. There's also a PAC at $5,000, which brings her grand total for the American-Israel Public Affairs Committees to $163,075. Tell me you're a paid shill without telling me you're a paid shill, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. That's right. Thinking of the Brady Bunch here. Marsha, 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 I got hit in the face. Oh my God. Oh, Blackburn, you're trying to get Americans into a war that you have no power to call us into. You are a senator. We need Congress to speak on war powers, not even Joe Biden. And there are people right now, the players that they are trying to become are the ones that want to march your sons, your daughters, into a war of something that does not have anything to do with you and us. Things we can agree upon for 500, Trebek. Well, what is condemning the attack by the Houthis and Hamas on Israel? Absolutely, 100%. We can agree upon that. How about we can also agree that after the response of 32,000 people being killed in Gaza, there's humanitarian aid that was going there and people died because Netanyahu bombed innocent lives? We can also say maybe it's gone a little too far at this point in time. So when Iran responds, and immediately people are using this as the opportunity to say, well, now it's time. Go time, baby. Get the Air Force and the military ready to go. I gotta wonder, what type of stage are these people on? Why are people saying things like Israel needs to immediately damage their oil reserves and tell them any more missiles and drones will be met with full-on deadly force? Well, you're correct. If they start launching more drones and missiles, which I don't think that's happening at the present moment, then yes, Israel should respond. But should Israel escalate the situation at this point in time, or should they de-escalate the situation? Well, I believe if you continue to poke the bear back, the bear is going to continue to come back at you. And I don't know that there is a quick solution or even a solution to the area. outside of what Saudi Arabia said, which is, can we have cooler heads prevail before war breaks out all over the Middle East? Middle East is always enthralled in bombings and wars. So before we all start pushing the World War III button, saying, look, it's happening, it's under Joe Biden, would you please pause for a quick moment and realize, perhaps, you are being manipulated into what you're going to say to your neighbors and friends or post on social media? Because that is absolutely the case at this point in time. There are individuals that would love to see you fired up about this, because the war machine makes money. And what do we have right now but a horrible economy? Now, depending on who you ask about the economy, you will either have people tell you that the United States economy is the envy of the world, like the Wall Street Journal recently tried to put out yesterday. They put out the story that economists are lifting their growth forecast in the latest Wall Street Journal, according to a quarterly survey. But is that really bragging rights when we're only comparing ourselves to an economy that has been crashed across the globe since 2020? An economy that, when you compare it to inflation and you talk about where interest rates are, well, you know, President Biden, he can continue to tout the country's economic growth coming out of COVID. However, the strength of that economy and the purchasing power for the average American has become weaker and weaker, and people are going further and further into debt as inflation continues up almost 32% in most goods. If you look at a chart to see where things are, year on year inflation at this point in time, I believe we have seen close to 4.8%, which is not good by any means. And so I have to wonder, if the world is a stage and this is a show, and we've been talking about central bank digital currency, talk about what the Federal Reserve had done as far as their test just recently, about a year ago, then who is benefiting from an Israel and Iran conflict in the Middle East? What type of finances are at play? And then it reminded me, as I thought about this question, of something that happened in the Biden administration around, I believe it was September 13th. Do you guys remember what happened September 13th, 2023, and Iran and Biden? There was money. There was money that got released, $6 billion. I covered it on my show. And people at the time, like Steve Scalise, had said that President Biden's $6 billion being made available to Iran was going to actually go to Hamas. The White House tried to play a picture completely differently. I'd like to play you the audio from the press secretary and what he said to try to defend this money that Biden was going to be given Iran, which, quite ironically, is probably what helped finance these drones and these missiles that were shot over 48 hours ago. Here's his words.
The U.S. will have visibility. We'll be able to engage in oversight about where the money was going and for what purpose. If Iran tries to divert the funds, we'll take action and we'll lock him up again. And there will be sufficient oversight to make sure that the request is valid and that it's going through vendors who we and the Qataris can trust will actually contract for the goods, the medical equipment, the food, whatever it is. The regime doesn't get to touch the money, Peter. Doesn't go to them. They don't get to decide ultimate destination, and they have no direct access to it.
So those are words that were delivered on September 13th, 2023. Now let's listen as he is challenged in January 4th, 2024. On where
John,
the money is.
Iran made two transactions withdrawing from the previously frozen funds in Oman. What were those transactions for?
I don't have the details on that, Jackie. You're going to have to let me get back to you on that.
Wait a minute. So We're going to have all the details for where this money is going. We're all going to have this taken care of. And then as soon, you know, 4 months later, hey, do you know where that money is going? Oh, I'm sorry, Jackie. We're going to have to get back to you. We have no idea where the money is going. Well, I'm pretty sure we now know where the money is going. The money is going to both sides, just like Joe Biden's administration has pretty much drew this whole damn thing up. Go back to Afghanistan and the horrible withdrawal plan leaving weapons and machinery all behind the terrorists could use. Or you could look at the fact that we have funded the humanitarian efforts while also funding Israel, while people are dying on the Gaza Strip that are humanitarians, trying to get aid in the places. Meanwhile, Netanyahu is blowing people up, the tune of 32,000 individuals. Or we could look at the fact that we gave $6 billion released money under the Biden administration to Iran, and then Iran just sent over 300 drones and ballistic missiles at... You can't write this up. We're funding all sides of this conflict. We funded the Iranian side. We funded the Israel side. And Hamas is using resources from Afghanistan that were left behind as well. And then when you get into the Iraq side and talking about the cells that are attacking our embassies and our bases over there because it's where they can find our troops. I mean, come on. We're funding both sides, talking out of both sides of our mouth as well. And it seems like a show. And the show's going to continue, actually. The show's going to continue in a lot of different ways. So we have central bank digital currency. And I just asked you that question before I play that as who's benefiting? Who's benefiting financially within all this? And then, is there somebody that would like to see this war? Is Netanyahu, at this point in time, working directly with the United States or baiting the United States into other conflicts? Is Russia baiting us into larger conflicts and using Iran, their ally, in order to do so? Who will this war impact the most? Positively? Negatively? I think that's very important questions. Now, these are questions raised by Patrick Bet-David on, I believe it was Sunday night I saw this. Well, immediately the people came out and said, well, Patrick, this is a completely irresponsible. Israel has a complete right to respond in kind. And other people wanted to throw in, well, you know, I stand with the Bible. The Bible says that Israel should be able to handle things for themselves. Okay, let's just be really clear here. Which part of the Bible does God support taking innocent lives in order to justify your revenge tour that you go on? I'm all for people defending themselves. I'm all for retaliation of bullies and horrible powers that are going to kill 1,000 people, right? Israel had the right to respond, correct? And they did. They've been responding for months since October. They've been responding on the Gaza Strip to the tune of 32,000 people dead, to the tune of babies and children maimed, murdered, and killed, to the tune of humanitarian workers losing their life while trying to distribute aid, and Netanyahu basically going, oops. Where does it say in the Bible that we continue to have retribution until we go, oops, sorry about that? I don't think you find that anywhere. And where does it say that Israel doesn't have a complete right to respond in kind? I think what people are trying to point out is, should the United States be funding Israel's cause? And then Israel took out a top general of Iran. You don't think that Iran's not going to be just a little bit peeved about that and strike back? Oh, come on. Of course you understand that's the way war works. And now after this attack, as the show continues, as the puppet masters, wherever they may be, continue to pull the strings on this one, Now it's, well, Israel is going to reserve the right to respond to these drone attacks. And when they do, it will be at a time of their choosing. Well, guess what? It's just going to continue to escalate over and over again. So enjoy that show just as much as you're enjoying all the people on the news media talking about global conflicts and global wars. Now, you might have seen a story that Russia is moving their boat, the Marshal Shapochnikov. I don't even know if I said that right. Maybe I should say it like Russian. Alright, Vlemichli, Marshal Shapochnikov. I probably can't even say it that way either. Well, anyway, it entered the Mediterranean Sea, and people were saying that, oh my God, this thing's entered the Mediterranean. Look, Russia is moving supersonic missiles past the Suez Canal. Well, if you were following that ship, it's been in the Middle East the entire time. Matter of fact, it was in the Middle East, I believe, since after about September of 2023, doing military exercises. You can see all these ships and where they're going. They actually will post their routes as they're doing different exercises as they go. Now, yes, this is an escalation by Russia, but it's also a measured escalation that tries to say, hey, yep, we're friends with Iran. You want to attack? We're now able to take out your domestic targets throughout the Middle East, United States, and Israel. We can strike you quicker than you can respond as well. So this is all intriguing, I believe, as far as the show goes. But the show is also going to continue. It's going to continue because, well, pay attention to this headline. O.J. Simpson died, right? Well, yes, he's gone, but apparently everybody that came over to his home had to sign a NDA, non-disclosure agreement. And there's people speculating, what did he share in his final hours? Even his children from Nicole Brown Simpson, the ex-wife who was murdered at the age of 35 with Ron Goldman at the age of 25 back in 1994. Well, we see now that O.J. Simpson, maybe he finally came clean in his final hours. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But the NDA was there. But it made me think about the show. It made me think about the world being a stage. Because I remember being in high school and being in Father Tucker's computer class when the verdict was read. I was in the downstairs part of the computer lab when they came over the loudspeaker and they announced the acquittal, that the jury was not guilty because they could not come to an agreement. So he was acquitted of those charges. Well, the show was in full effect. Think about the way it was televised. Think about the way that everybody knew Cato Kalin, Marcia Clark. They knew all about all these lawyers, Johnny Cochran. If the glove don't fit, you must acquit. Right, all those things. I remember coming home and instead of my mother watching One Life to Live or General Hospital, they'd be watching Judge Ito trial O.J. Simpson. And see, I remember all these names. I'm not even looking. I promise you guys, I've not looked up any information. I just remember this. And I was, what, 15 years old back when this was going on? So I'm sure that if you're a Bold American listener of my age or older, you remember this case very well. That is part of the show. What is it distracting us from? Well, there's other information that's come out recently. Apparently, there's a gentleman who is saying that O.J. Simpson hired the Gambino mob family to kill his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson. And John Dunton, who went to jail, despite, you know, prosecutors felt that he had information they wanted to give the grand jury, they put him in jail. And after, I believe it was like 28, 26 days, John Dunton was released when his lawyers finally got the grand jury to basically admit that he was not going to speak. He was not going to say anything. Well, now he's speaking. He's speaking because he says, you know, he had a gun put in his mouth back then. They threatened to whack his family, whack him. And he still is very careful because there's one person still alive that he's aware of. So he's not going to say anything else. But he does say he believes from what he heard from a secondhand source, O.J. Simpson was there, but it was the mob that took care of the murder and O.J. watched. Very interesting. It's a show. It's entertaining you. If maybe it's not good entertainment, but it's entertaining you. You're paying attention to it. The show's going to get something new, too, this week. It's going to get something new as Donald Trump is going to go for one of his first criminal trials, felony charges. It's going to begin this week, today, with jury selection. As you're listening to this, it's either already happened or happening in the moment. What is it for? Well, it's about the hush money, allegedly the payoff a porn star, Stormy Daniels, and using it illegally from campaign finances. I want to point out something funny about this charge and court case. Donald Trump will not go to jail for this. Why? Because these are not jailable charges. That's right. The federal campaign finance crimes that he's being accused of here, the $130,000 to keep quiet about some type of alleged sexual encounter. Well, apparently, this is not a criminal case that could possibly carry a jail sentence. And this will likely be the only criminal case that gets trialed before the election as well. So, my guess would be this is going to be another educational, fun, entertainment put on for the show to distract you from the things that really matter in the world, just like the whole Iran and Israel is a distraction from taking care of what we should really take care of, the people that live here in the United States. Imagine the billions of dollars that get spent and what we could accomplish if we would just point it in the right direction and not at funding more violence to beget violence. And lastly, as a final thought, I'm curious. When did this entertainment show or this movie-like script that it seems that is going on from the news media and our politics with reality television stars basically representing us, when did it begin? Was it back with The Real World on MTV as a reality television show? And if that's the case, does it matter maybe to look at like Bunneman Murray Productions? You know, they created this from what I remember. It was Mary Ellis Bunnell and Jonathan Murray, two big names. Murray grew up actually in Syracuse, eventually got a degree in journalism from the Missouri School of Journalism. All right, so this is not somebody who went to school for filmmaking. He went to school for journalism. So John Murray, he goes to school for this. And eventually, he goes into a partnership with Mary Ellis Bunnell. Now, Mary Ellis Bunnell had a career in daytime dramas. So now you got a journalist who's working with somebody who is doing As the World Turns, Santa Barbara, Loving. And so John and her start this reality television by scripting together a soap opera for MTV. Now, as they're putting together the soap opera, they realized they didn't have the money to do it for MTV. And so what they decided to do was try to do an unscripted soap opera. And they shot The Real World. And there's a famous documentary that was made of this, but apparently they said that within 20 minutes of shooting the show, they immediately knew that they were going to have a hit. And The Real World would go on to become a staple of MTV, so much so that Road Rules became a thing. Now, I actually got to meet part of their team back when I was working in that side of things, and I got to meet John at one point in time. And they've both, at this point in time, I know that Mary Ellis died of breast cancer, but I think John Murray is still alive and well. I'm not quite sure. I have to look that up. Yes, he's still alive. He's working on all the distracting television shows. Look at that. The Kardashians, working on E! Shows, Project Runway for Lifetime, Total Divas. Yeah, it looks like John is continuing on to do the same type of productions
that are theatrical in the way that things are going. But my curiosity is killing me. Who have John and who did Mary Ellis work with, maybe, or who did the government study as well to figure out how can you provide the same type of entertainment to America and to the world? Because I believe that is what we're seeing. So kill your television, smash your radio, don't turn off my podcast. Glad to have you here. But all the world's a stage. And I guess I'm merely a player as well as you. So let's play our parts well, and let's play them transparently, and let's not manipulate one another for financial gain, financial reasons, and instead try to be good stewards with one another, with what we share on social media and the thoughts that we give things, and try not to manifest bad things into reality. Hope I honored your time well. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. Be bold, America.